Greetings. If you're coming into this, if you have not listened to Stating the Obvious 190 and then 191 prior to listening to this episode, I don't want to hear any fucking commentary for you, okay? From you. It's a three-part series. You gotta listen to them in order. I don't fucking hear any commentary otherwise. Shut up. Tell your people, I didn't understand what you were talking about. Well, okay, did you listen to part one of the podcast? Well, no, I didn't. Well, then shut the fuck up, okay? It's like, look, if you watch Empire Strikes Back without watching Star Wars, don't be like, well, I don't really understand what's going on. Who's this Darth Vader guy, and why does that princess chick not like him? You can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, and moan. You can shove your opinion up your ass. That way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. And I can almost choke to death on a jelly bean. Or what could happen is that you could be wrong and I could be right. It is I, the great one himself, Cynical Libertarian Society, and this is Stating the Obvious podcast, the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile of my intellect that homes in on destroy stupid motherfucking status all around the world. If you've ever in your life said, but who would build the roads? Then the cruise missile is looking for you, motherfucker. This is part three in a series where we are using the machine gun of my logic to mow down and kill this mangina named Jackson Katz. Now, between podcasts, as I was taking a leak, because I do some of my best thinking on the throne, one time I had actually considered I was going to the Anarchy Moment podcast that you're all familiar with, of course, because you listen to all my podcasts. I had originally considered recording the episodes of Anarchy Moment in the bathroom while sitting on the toilet, and then finishing each episode up with a flush of the toilet. And no, I'm not going to... Yes, I could do a toilet sound effect post-production and shit like... No. See, that's the difference between me and manginas. It's just like with... That's a tangent. I'm not going to go there. But the point is, everything you hear, the shit on this podcast, I don't like the fake shit unless I have to. I mean, obviously, I can't have David Gilmour come and play the introductory song to Stating the Obvious, You Know I'm Right, each time I do an episode. So I have to, that has to be canned. Now, the applause you hear at the beginning of each episode, that's real. That's the live studio audience. All right. Anyhow, I could have done a fake toilet flush, but I really wanted to do a real toilet flush and just record in the bathroom for the dynamics, but I've simply just decided not to do it because being able to record Anarchy Moment wherever I'm standing, more or less, kind of makes it better. All right. As I was in the bathroom doing my best thinking, I just thought about hate speech. Because, of course, you know, hate speech is important because anybody that hears this that is a femistatist or a femisimp is going to immediately say, you know, how I'm racist, sexist, patriarchy, hate speech, all this other shit. I've said this before, but this is just another way of looking at it. Whenever somebody says you're engaging in hate speech, that is always an indicator that you've won the argument. It's an indicator that they cannot logically or intelligently refute anything you're saying. Let me explain why this is with an example. If I walk up to somebody and I say, the sun in the sky, the star, soul, sun, the sun, is square. The person does not have to say to me, well, that's hate speech. Because a person can use evidence, reasoning, objective observations, empirical data, all sorts of other things to present evidence to me that the sun is in fact not a square and that it is spherical. And that's why it's not hate speech. Everything I'm saying in this podcast, everything I'm saying, is hate speech. The reason it's hate speech is because no femistatist can refute anything I am saying. There's not one thing in the previous two editions of Stating the Obvious, or this edition of Stating the Obvious, that a femistatist can refute with logic, reasoning, empirical evidence, or anything else. And that's why this is hate speech. Remember, if somebody accuses you of hate speech, that means you've won. Because they have no way to refute your point. They have to resort to name-calling and emotions. And that's all it is. It's emotional manipulation. Let me continue so we can wrap this up so I can avoid dying. Meanwhile, over the past 17 years, Katz estimates his company has given 100 workshops for all three branches of the military. And yet the number of The number of incidents of unwanted sexual conduct, everything from groping to rape, has gone up. During the same time that he's given all these seminars, the sexual misconduct is increasing, not decreasing. He and MVP collected nearly $500,000 for their work from 2008 to 2011, according to public records provided by DOD. Again, let me say it again. Katz is doing this for the money. $500,000. To tell men in the military, an organization where people are trained to kill other humans, he's getting $500,000 to tell people whose job it is to facilitate the murder of other humans that rape is wrong. These same, again, why do we have these problems? Because you have a group of people who are being told that it's okay to kill other people if the government tells you to kill other people. That you, not only is it okay, you're expected to kill other people because the government said so, but at the same time, you're supposed to believe that you can't rape a woman because she owns her own body. But these people over here, you can kill them even though, but because they don't own their own bodies because the government told you to kill them. The reason for this moral conflict, the reason why this shit is happening, is because people are simultaneously being being told people own their own bodies, but people don't own their own bodies. When you present these kind of logical inconsistencies, you cannot expect people's brains to make sense of this and behave rationally. The military is an organization which exists specifically to kill people. And so when you go into the military and say to them, you can't rape other people, well, why the fuck not? We can kill them. Why can't we rape them? I mean, this is just dumber than shit. $500,000. Yep. He really cares about the women. Not surprisingly, some critics of the military's handling of sexual assault wonder what good it has done. Quote, I don't know the specifics of this gentleman's program, but if we have been doing it for 17 years, we haven't trained our way out, unquote, says Glenn Kaplan, communications director for Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, who has led a high-profile but so far unsuccessful push to remove the adjudication of sexual assault cases from the chain of command. Or we could eliminate the military and stop killing people in foreign countries and solve multiple problems at one time. Oh, but then who would build the roads? An official who worked with one of the NFL teams echoed such concerns. contending that the 90-minute sessions MVP holds for pro athletes have had scant impact on behavior. Quote, the fact is the teams do this. It's an insurance policy. They want to be able to say they did it to give the operation cover if a player gets outed for mistreating a woman. And of course it is. This is just like when I worked at CSU. Every time the trifecta would sexually harass a woman, we all had to go to sexual harassment training because that's just CSU's way of covering itself so that if any woman comes up and says, hey, I want to sue this guy because he sexually harassed me, the university didn't do anything, the university could say, oh, but we did. We sent them to sexual harassment training. It's all a self-protection thing. Hold on, I'm reading my notes. Oh, gee. I have some notes here to say something I've only said 700,000 times so far. Greg Jacob, policy director at the Service Women's Action Network, a nonprofit advocacy group. It's nonprofit. I bet he's getting paid. I love when we're a nonprofit. Really? Do you get paid? Well, yeah. Oh, sounds like profit to me. Also has been pushing the military to adopt the independent judicial process. He's been in the room for bystander training. He says the tone isn't helpful. The scenarios the Army uses are really paternalistic. I watch these videos. The bystanders are knights in shining armor, and the woman is a damsel in distress. There is nothing empowering about it. It doesn't empower the potential victims in terms of fighting back or calling the cops, unquote. Because, as I have said, so these three podcasts have all been recorded one right after the other, truly, literally. Like we stop one, we bounce right to the other. Let me repeat myself. Let me say the same fucking thing I have said over the last 2 hours about 70 fucking times. The reason this training does not empower the potential victim in terms of fighting back is because the state does not want victims, potential victims, to fight back. The state wants women to be raped. The state wants to create more victims. The state wants to create more criminals. If the potential victims pulled out a gun and shot the rapist and killed him, there would be no victims, there would be no criminals, there would be no justice industrial complex, there would be no police industrial complex, there would be no prison industrial complex, there would be no fucking social worker industrial complex, there would be no victim advocacy industrial complex. All of these things would collapse. The state and the corporations want women to be raped. I will say this over and over and over until I fucking pass out in a desperate attempt, and it is desperate because it's not likely to work, to get through to your stupid fucking femistatist hags out there. When I tell Katz about these comments, he pauses, visibly measuring his response. If anything in bystander training smacks of white knighting, then the Army is doing it wrong, he says. The military version, he says, ignores societal sexism, the biases and images that create a so-called rape culture, rendering it less effective. Yet Katz himself avoids using the word feminism when he speaks to soldiers. That would tune them out, he says, but I do say gender is at the heart of the violence. No, gender is not at the heart of violence. You know what's at the heart of violence? Violence is at the heart of violence. the ignorance and the non-application of the non-aggression principle is at the heart of violence. To Katz's MVP colleague, O'Brien, the lack of impact is a problem of scale. We were like dropping a pebble in the ocean, like, oh my God, he says. The U.S. Army has 750,000 soldiers. We have probably worked with 150 of them. It's the biggest branch, and we've done the least amount of work with regular soldiers. MVP speakers have all given presentations to Army higher-ups, he says, but I don't count that stuff. It's the actual training. Hi, General. We're here to get paid by the government to explain to you that raping women is bad, okay? I mean, again, if you're a general in the military and you need somebody to explain to you that raping women is bad, but then again, you're a general in the military. Your entire career revolves around murdering people. Follow the money, follow the money. Remember, where's the number again? Yes, MVP has been paid $500,000 from 2008 to 2011 to teach people in the military that raping women is wrong. Follow the money, follow the money, follow the money now. There has been some mildly promising academic research on bystander training. Mildly promising academic research. Wow. Oh, wow. That, to quote a feminist, wow. I'm trying to think offhand of something that could be more useless than mildly promising academic research. You know, there's some mildly promising academic research that says if I eat enough Rolaids, I could sprout wings out of my asshole and fly. Mildly promising academic research. The only word in that sentence that has value is the research part. Academic means it didn't happen in the real world. Mildly means it failed, and promising means if we squint one eye and close the other and fudge the data. In a 2007 study, just under 400 University of New Hampshire students were divided into three groups, one of which received a single 90-minute session of bystander training, a second three sessions, and the third none. Checking back in with the subjects at later intervals, the investigators found that the two treatment groups harbored fewer so-called rape myths. Example, women tend to exaggerate how much rape affects them, and they do, and were more... Isn't it amazing? A woman can have sex with like 20 different guys and she's totally cool, but one guy has sex with her and she feels like she didn't really want to have sex and she's going to blow that out of proportion. But anyway, and we're more likely to report engaging in bystander behaviors such as speaking up against sexist jokes or confronting a friend who'd grabbed, pushed, or insulted his partner. Again, it's a partner. She chose him. She's choosing to date him. So anyway, so in other words, sexual harassment training turns guys into pussies. We knew that. The Navy and Marines conducted their own assessments of the intervention. The design called for officers to be instructed in the program, then pass along what they learned to nearly 3,000 enlistees in three 90-minute sessions. Again, really, three 90-minute sessions to explain that raping women is wrong. That's how you know this isn't about rape. This is about, well, if you look at a girl from across the room, that's sexual harassment. Because it does not take three 90-minute sessions to explain to anyone why you should not rape women. The fact that there are three 90-minute sessions tells us there's more on the agenda here than preventing women from getting raped. those three 90-minute sessions are there to convince men that if they look at women, if they talk to women, if they smile at women, if they compliment women, then they're sexist pigs. That's what you need three 90-minute sessions for. You think I'm making this up? In the future, it's coming, it's here, I've got it, is the article written by a college student that says if you tell a woman she would look pretty if she smiles, that is sexual harassment. It's coming up. When I say this kind of shit, some of you out there, especially you old people who have never been to college nowadays, think I'm exaggerating the degree to which men interacting with women on any terms other than the woman's own terms is under assault by idiots like these people. It's called lookism. I've talked about it before on this podcast. If you look at a woman for too long, that is sexual harassment. It's called lookism. You think I'm making this up? Get on the internet, type lookism into Google. Not making this up. Okay. Yes. Oh, we're going to wrap. Oh, we're going to wrap because my throat is dying. I have not talked this much in months. The Navy and Marines did their assessment, blah, blah, blah. All right, 90-minute sessions. Three 90-minute sessions to explain that raping women is wrong. Right, exactly. But it was pretty much a bust, according to a 2011 report, because only four of the 25 command posts participated fully. Though anecdotally, 17 soldiers said they'd used their MVP skills to prevent sexual assault, some more than once. And of course, with anything like this, you can only have anecdotal evidence. You can't get objective evidence on something like, did sitting in a 90-minute session help somebody to intervene in sexual harassment? I mean, there's virtually no way to get actual, objective, verifiable data about that. It's all anecdotal. Which doesn't necessarily mean, I'm not saying necessarily that anecdotal evidence is useless or invalid. I'm just saying with something like this, you're talking about people's behavior under different circumstances. There's no way, I mean, for example, you could do experiments that say, or that give us objective data. Excuse me. I'm trying to think of a good example. You could do experiments that get objective data that say a resistor of a certain value will drop a certain amount of voltage across it with a certain current. Things like that. Okay, those are objective, measurable things and be verified over and over and over. With human behavior, you can't say, for example, take a person and put them in a situation and then wipe their brain and put them in the same situation and then wipe their memory of that and put them in a situation to see if they do the same thing over and over. Okay, it's all anecdotal. That doesn't, I'm not saying that means the information is invalid or useless or should be ignored or doesn't have value. Okay, I'm just saying that in something like this, you're only getting anecdotal information. That's all you can have. Still, the researcher's final takeaway was that since a single sexual assault case cost the military an average of $458,000, even a small return on an investment by bystander training is worth it. All right. Let's do this one more time. One more time. Come with me. One more time. A single sexual assault case cost the military an average of $458,000. Where do I even start? Okay, first, the military does not have any money. The military is part of the government. The government does not have money. That means the taxpayers, heterosexual white men who work for a living, are paying $458,000 per sexual harassment case. Second, if $458,000 are being paid out for each sexual harassment case, that means that money is being paid to someone. So the people receiving that $458,000, they're profiting from the sexual harassment cases. Do you really think those people want to eliminate sexual harassment? If you own a cinema and therefore make money by showing movies to people who pay to come into your cinema and watch movies, do you want people to stop making movies? Of course not. If you collectively are part of a group of people that make $458,000 every time a sexual harassment case comes up in the military, do you want sexual harassment cases in the military to stop happening? You see, this is a huge problem with the state, is that there is no incentive for the state to stop. Let's say it again. The state wants women to be raped. There's no incentive. When women get raped, the state makes money and gets power. If women don't get raped, there is no benefit for the state to that. The state does not benefit if women don't get raped. The state does not benefit if men are not rapists. The corporations, the prisons, the police, they benefit when women get raped and when men are criminals. There is no fucking incentive to prevent the rape from happening. This is why it's not going away. This and the complete blatant disregard of the non-aggression principle. $458,000. And you don't understand why there's the number of sexual harassment cases in the military. Well, I don't know if I should say going up. There was the 35% increase in the number of incidences, but that doesn't, of course, mean anything about the number of sexual assault cases. Those are two completely different things. Because, of course, not every incident turns into a case. Case meaning taken into the military justice system. On his office computer, Katz pulls up pictures of himself and fellow MVP trainers in locker rooms with the Patriots, at training camps with the Duke football team, on gym floors with the Big Ten basketball players. Oh, look at me, here's my picture with other famous people. Oh, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, just like a femistatist. I need attention, I need validation. Look at all the famous people I hung out with. Oh, I'm so cool. Sorry, reading my notes. He keeps his high school all-star trophy on his desk, a pewter statue of a football player, but the photos are a different kind of award, proof that he has challenged masculine culture in its innermost sanctums. Yeah, because college football teams and professional sports, there's no political correctness there. Speaking of which, Katz's current project is an examination of how Rush Limbaugh uses language to perpetuate the patriarchy. Yes, my friends, Rush Limbaugh is single-handedly keeping the patriarchy alive. He's telling all of those women who they have to date and marry. He's forcing those women to get drunk with people who are rapists. Yep, it's all Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh uses language to perpetuate the patriarchy, which gives his wife an attack of the NIMBYs. That stands for not in my backyard. Quote, if she comes into the house faster than I can turn it off, we get into an argument. She says, get that toxicity out of my house, which I appreciate. A lot of feminists and others think he's a buffoon. They don't understand how influential he is because they're dismissive. Yes, she calls Rush Limbaugh toxic. Again, why is it hate speech? Why is it toxic? Because she can't refute anything he's saying. And that's pretty sad. When you can't refute the shit that Rush Limbaugh says, you're a fucking moron. You know, I talked about it a couple of podcasts ago. I listened to Rush Limbaugh for 3 hours just for you guys. There is nothing that came out of his mouth that can't be refuted by somebody with more than 17 brain cells. And for the fucking feminist cunt to be like, you have to turn off Rush Limbaugh because it's toxic. What you're doing is you're admitting that you can't refute anything he's saying. More importantly, what this guy is saying is that she wears the pants in the family because, okay, so if you're researching Rush Limbaugh because he's the patriarchy and your wife comes in the house and you have to turn it off, I'm going to go ahead and call that pussy whooped. Sorry, man, if I'm listening to Rush Limbaugh so that I can report to my listeners about what sort of stupid shit Rush Limbaugh says, and some woman comes in and be like, you need to turn that off, I'm going to tell her, you need to get the fuck out. The door is over there, bitch. This is work. I am listening to this because I have a duty to my listeners to fucking listen to Rush Limbaugh and then give them my opinions about Rush Limbaugh. And if you can't fucking deal with that, get the fuck out. Again, Katz is just a giant fucking mangina. That's why he gets called a mangina. His wife fucking doesn't let him listen to Rush Limbaugh, which is part of his job. What a goddamn giant fucking pussy. But doesn't Katz get a little discouraged, I wonder? What with Limbaugh's enduring popularity, the almost daily reports about sex crimes at colleges and in the military, the rise of Stuberville-type videotaped rapes, and the scant evidence that Kant's own work has made even a dent in the problem? Again, colleges. Why, women are getting raped on colleges, yet women keep going there. They keep paying money to go there. Oh, but that's right, the patriarchy is forcing women to go to college. It's forcing them to go into debt to go to the college. It's forcing them to not own handguns. Actually, it is, because you can't have a handgun on most college campuses because they're run by liberals. It's forcing them to not take self-defense training. It's forcing them to not carry flashlights. The patriarchy is forcing these women to go to these college campuses and get raped. God damn it, patriarchy. Fucking Rush Limbaugh. You know, I've seen it here at CSU. I saw one time Rush Limbaugh was holding down a woman while she got raped. I saw it with my own eyes. Actually, Rush Limbaugh could hold down about 3 women at one time because he could just sit on them because he's large. No, he says simply, success at this juncture looks like this for Katz. Here's Katz's definition of success. Here we go. Success at this juncture looks like this for Katz. He got to help the White House craft anti-rape programs, the likes of which are now mandatory at colleges under VAWA, and which could be required in high schools next, based on a new directive from Education Secretary Arne Duncan. Ah, yes. This is his idea of success. Is getting the White House to pass a law that says colleges have to tell people that rape is bad. Because, my God, you can't expect people who are 18 years old and have had 12 years of public government-controlled education and had mothers to know that raping is bad. I mean, how would they possibly know that? Wait, this is so, wow, this is success. We are so successful. We are going to force people to tell other people that rape is bad, okay? I am so successful. And large amounts of money will be exchanged in the process. The fucking worship of the state. Success is getting the Messiah to pass a law. Success is getting the government to force people at gunpoint to do things. Financed by tax money. That is success to this fucking goddamn mangina. Let me tell you what success looks like. This is what success looks like. Success looks like a woman who's walking in the dark at night with her flashlight, and some guy comes up and tries to grab her and rape her, and she kicks him in the balls, she pulls out a gun, and she shoots him in the fucking head. His DNA is eliminated from the gene pool. He doesn't rape any more women. She is not a victim. That is what success looks like. If you think success is anything other than that, then you're a fucking idiot. Katz insists on optimism. He also insists on getting paid for his 3 90-minute seminars. I've noticed that's a consistent thing, is the money. Katz insists on optimism as evidence of what he calls the revitalization of the feminist movement. He cites the campus anti-rape activism and the hashtag Yes All Women campaign, sparked by the University of California Santa Barbara shooting by a 24-year-old guy bent on punishing women for sexually rejecting him. Remember, 22-year-old guy, how many years of college? 12 years of public education. He had a mother. I just repeat myself over and over and over. Over and over. Yes, one guy shot some girls, and people decided he did it because they sexually rejected him. And now every man in the country has to pay the price. Not long ago, white women in this country were the property of men and black women were slaves, Katz says. You can't change these things quickly. Religion, culture, it took thousands of years to get where we are. Yes, and today, all the white women and all the black women are still slaves. They're still the property of the government. They still need permission to get married. They still need a government ID number to get a job. They still have to pay their taxes. They still need permission to drink alcohol. They still need permission to smoke dope. They are still slaves. They're still slaves. Just like the men. Quote, look at women in law school, he continues. There's an exclamation mark after that. That's why I said it in that voice. Quote, think about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Oh God, I don't want to think about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. It's my dick shrivel up. Think about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. The number of women in law school in 1965 was less than 5%, and the men would ask these lawyer women to get them coffee. The president talked about sexual violence yesterday using language straight out of the MVP. Eventually, it'll be normal to hear men talk like this, and no journalist will come out to California to interview a guy about it if he does. Unquote. Yes, eventually, all men will be giant fucking pussies if Katz has his way. And he will. I mean, it's going to happen. This is, again, this is why this is the cynical libertarian society, not the optimistic libertarian society, because it's getting worse. It's going to keep getting worse. We are creating more and more manginas. It's going to get worse. It's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. It's not going to get better in my lifetime. And if you're alive listening to this, I don't think it's going to get better in your lifetime either. Now, 50 years from now, well, I shouldn't say 50, that's too soon. 100 years from now, maybe. But in our lifetime, we're screwed. All right, guess what? Randy, done. Yes. I actually just play some music because she's ready to get the fuck out of here. All right, we are going to make this. happen. And by make this happen, I mean get the fuck out of Dodge, because we both have other things to do. All right, there's more coming. Sorry, it's a short episode, but I'm sure it didn't bother you that much. All right, see ya.